Hello.
Hi.
Probably fine.
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post.
Oh, God. Famous first words.
Yep. All right. You ready?
I thought we were already beginning. I don't know how you do this.
Oh, no. This is just how it is.
All right, good.
Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
It's me, Tim, and with me, it's a surprise interview.
Unless you read the title.
Yes. But you don't do that. You just let everything download into your queue, and you just, like, roll the dice. It's Jared, everybody.
Hi, Jared.
Jared.
I don't think I've ever introduced myself on a podcast as Jared.
I know, so I don't know who I'm actually talking to right now.
It's J-Rod.
It's J-Rod? It's
Subliminal Film.
Yeah?
Honestly, yeah. I don't know. It just started that way. Everyone else uses their actual name. Well, everyone else uses a shorter name.
Right.
Like, well, Paul. Dan.
Paul will always
and
be
Max.
Paul.
Use a shortened version. I just change a letter, and then it's fine.
All right. I wasn't sure how you wanted to be referred.
Eh, Jared's fine.
All right. Well, we didn't tell your other superliminal peoples that you were coming over here to do an interview.
Hi.
How do you... what do you think their reaction is to this? Because I'm not going to tell them. It's just going to show up in their feed.
I'm sure it'll be confusion, and at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, Tim finally got him.
I got him. I did it. Paul is next on my list, but Paul, you gotta come to me, because I'm scared of all the critters and wildlife at your house.
That is accurate.
Yeah, no, there's spiders the size of, like, my leg. I'm not doing that. I can't do that, Paul. Paul, I love you. There's love for you. I'm not doing that. That can't happen.
It's an easy drive, Paul. You'll be fine.
So
Max can make this drive, anybody can.
There it is. Yeah, Max isn't a big driver.
Nope.
Doesn't like to drive. Well, I figured, since you've been popping up on my podcast more and more, that we should... kind of tell people who the hell you are.
I'm excited to find out.
So here's who you are.
Yes, this is your life. Thank God somebody's going to tell me.
So, wow, I pretty much, my first question, I just did the whole thing just like I wrote it. That's creepy.
You're a flower.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what that means.
I flow. For starters, you're a member of Superliminal Films. What exactly is your role for Superliminal Films? I say Superliminal Films a lot, and I don't know that everybody knows what the hell I mean.
Well, and also when you say a role, we all do stuff.
Sure.
Like, we all share the duties.
So what's your speciality?
Well, over the past year, I've been the one editing the 1-2-3 shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Not really much. Like, I consider myself more of, like, the term, like, jack-of-all-trades, or the factotum, if you played D&D 3A5, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
They introduced a character class that could do a little bit of everything. I was like, that's basically me.
There it is.
So.
But are they as furry as you?
Not usually.
Okay.
You can play a dwarf.
Fair.
And, you know, that's basically me. So. Yeah, I just try to do a little bit of everything. Editing, me and my wife took over season 4 of How Good Is That?
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
The American Horror Story stuff.
Weird to do an entire podcast myself,
mm-hmm.
as far as, like, the Superliminal people.
Right.
So I was like, I need somebody, and I told my wife we were doing that. She's like, okay. Because she hasn't really done anything with us, except for her hands are in the intro to 1-2-3 shoot.
Okay.
And she's thrown blood on people during one of our other shorts.
What is her official title, like, if in the credits for that? What would it be? Like, Blood Thrower?
Well... I don't think we used actual credits, so I think it was just... I can't remember what we credited that role as.
Blood Thrower sounds great.
I mean, it's
to put on a resume?
That's a great title.
I was once a blood thrower, and I worked at Starbucks. Like, just throwing that in the middle.
Yeah.
Running down, trying to sell yourself. Pretty good.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think I'll have to try to fix that in post.
Fix
even
it
though
everything in
that's
post.
From a short that's released like 5 years ago. We'll fix it in post.
Super post.
Yeah.
Post-mortem.
But,
is what it is.
Yeah, so, yeah, I've tried to do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I record videos for the streams. I have streamed a couple of times myself, but overall, I'm just like, poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need?
So, how did you four guys, there's four of you that make up Superliminal Films, and then there's, like, you know, helpers and whatnot. How did you four actually get together?
So, for those of you who don't want to listen to me ramble, we actually have a video on our YouTube, which was our 10-year YouTube-iversary.
Ah, yes.
Where we kind of go into detail of what we did beforehand. But the simpler terms, Max and Paul, back when we were in high school, were just trying to do like a stop motion thing. And we actually show a couple of clips from that. I joined in trying to help with that, and then eventually Dan did as well. And then we never finished that, because boy, do we lack follow-through sometimes. We worked on that for a while, and we were able to learn from what we did and what we couldn't do, and we kind of rolled that into, all right, let's figure out what we can do and do that, and we'll start there. So then we got into actually talking about doing the Memoirs of the Macabre, the horror shorts on YouTube, and the podcasts, and it all sort of snowballed from there into what we're doing now with that and the streaming and the other YouTube content that we do.
Yeah, you guys do a lot between the four of you. Will you ever take on more members? Will this turn into, like, a giant fraternity in some way?
I mean, we have hopes of doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we always have projects that we're working on that we're like, we need more people.
Right.
And we've definitely brought more people in, like the ancillary, the side characters.
Yes.
For our existence.
They're very, the tertiary.
Yeah, but no, we have definitely gotten a lot of outside help, and there's a lot of things we wouldn't have been able to do early on without help. Even before we started, like, paying actors to be in our stuff, we're like, we need people to help us. So right. We got a whole bunch of people to help us with all that stuff, so,
very good, very good. Well, moving on here, Capes and Scales is a nerdy podcast. And so, what are some of your favorite nerd properties? Things like movies, TV, animation, comics, for the people who just don't know you at all. I mean, I know two things that'll come to mind.
Oh yeah, there's a few that are like, very me.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Turtles is probably the one that comes to your mind first.
Yep, that's first, always first.
But for me, usually, it would be Star Wars.
Mm.
I'm a lot more into that than most things, but, you know, I'm into quite a few things like that. Really big fan of, like, the Marvel movies, and even going back to, like, X-Men and Spider-Man and Blade, when the Marvel movies first started being Marvel movies and not the MCU, I was like, I love all of these things.
Right. Just happy to have them.
Yeah, it was great. I definitely got into comics after watching the movies, though, but I had some comics when I was younger, so I knew some of the characters, and the old cartoons really helped with that, too. But there was definitely a lot of learning from the movies what the comics were, and then the comics helping me understand why the movies are deeper than what they actually seem to be.
So what did you dive into? What did you try first, whether you succeeded or not? Because I know some of the stuff you read, but I'm always interested as somebody who isn't into comics initially, and they're going and they learn the movies, and like, what would appeal to you? What would you try first?
So the first, like, definitely Marvel, more than anything.
Right.
But the first, like, real thing I read was the first Civil War run, and I bought, like, all of the trades.
Right.
All the ancillary stories for that. Because I'm like, I want everything to do with Civil War. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I dove really deep into that, and I have, I think, all, if not most of, the trades that came out during that time. So that would probably be where I got into comics the most. Like, I had bought a few other little comics here and there, but that was where, like, I need to find out more about all of these characters and all this stuff going on.
Did Civil War make you more interested in The Punisher? Because I know you've recently completed The Punisher run.
Yeah, the Punisher War Journal, specifically, correct, not the actual main story. It did make me more interested in it, but I had known about The Punisher before that.
Because Dolph Lundgren's awesome.
Unfortunately, I didn't see that at that time.
But you've seen it since?
Yes.
All right, that's all that matters.
Oh, boy.
No, you love it, right?
It certainly happened to all of us.
Oh, come on.
I will give you no such satisfaction.
Fine.
But no,
I'll edit this in such a way.
Yeah, you will. No, the Tom Jane Punisher, though, I really enjoyed that one.
That one's fun.
Even with John Travolta being in it.
Right.
I think it's fine. A lot of people really don't like him as an actor in that movie.
I think secretly Kevin Nash is your favorite actor, because he was your Super Shredder, and he was the Russian in that movie. I think you're following him secretly.
I have his autograph on Turtles 2.
That's amazing.
And he signed In the Ooze, He signed by his own picture on my copy of The Punisher.
That's
so
cool.
He is the only person on that, so yeah, I guess he is my favorite
there actor it is.
In that movie.
I knew it.
Absolutely. But yeah, aside from Marvel comics and some DC, like, I really liked Smallville, so I got into Superman a bit. Mega Man is my video game of choice, and I have a whole bunch of, like, the pop vinyls and stuff.
Man, what a cash cow that is for Mega Man. It's just repaint after repaint.
It's pretty easy.
I'd be angry if it wasn't, like, I'd do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's so smart.
Then there's obviously, like, the Jim Henson-iverse.
I know, yeah. That was the number two thing that comes to mind for me. Muppets or Dark Crystal or just all of that.
Yeah, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, Muppets, Sesame Street, Fraggle Rock.
Man, Fraggle Rock. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Fraggle Rock is way up there for me. One of my favorite things to ever exist is Muppet Family Christmas.
Oh, sure.
I don't know how I saw it first, but, like, I saw it on, like, a bootleg VHS when I was a little kid, and I was like, this is amazing! Because it's Sesame Street, and The Muppets, and Fraggle Rock, all in one.
It's what you needed.
And then it's like, Jim Henson's at the end, and I still get teared up when I see him at the end of that movie. It's like, ah! It's him, he did this!
We should live stream you and your reaction to that movie.
I'd be willing to
just
do that.
Just watch the whole movie again and see if you tear up at the end. Can we take bets on it?
I wouldn't.
No. All right, well, let's go to turtles now.
Turtles.
Let's keep talking turtles here. So I have a task for you. I bet you could do this easily, too.
Okay.
I want to rank the movies. I want to rank the movies, the three old movies, that animated CGI movie. You've got the two Michael Bay movies. And just for shits and giggles, can we do the Coming Out of Their Shells tour VHS as well?
We can, because I have seen all of these things.
What's your favorite song on the Coming Out of the Shells tour?
It's been a long time since I've
Splinter,
watched it.
The one about the rocks. It's so bad. I love it.
The whole thing. Bad.
Yeah, it's great.
And I haven't watched that in years, so I couldn't tell you.
We did a video where we watched it. Oh my god. That was probably like 5 years ago now. It was an exercise, for sure.
Yeah. Going back to Star Wars, it's like trying to watch the holiday special.
Sure, exactly. So exactly
if
that.
If you're trying to rank that involved with it, it makes it a lot more difficult. You're like, does that count as a thing I did, or is it just something that happened to me? And I can't be sure which it was.
Either way.
So, the Turtles movies.
Yeah, they're tricky.
They are, because, like...
I look at them with nostalgia glasses, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's... You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first three, they're cheesy as fuck.
Yes.
Can I say fuck on this?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
All right, get them all out of the way.
Fuck.
It's funny. I normally don't curse. Like, I almost never curse on Poor Man's Process.
I know. You have so much freedom here. You're like, I don't even know what to do.
How do I talk words now?
You flip the table if you want. I don't care.
That's a tall table.
If, you know what? Maybe this isn't the table. But no. Afterwards, we'll flip tables.
We'll find tables.
And we'll flip them. We'll put each other through tables. It'll be great.
So, like, one and two are usually going to be up top, at the top of my list.
Sure.
No matter how bad it seems, I also really enjoyed three.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they eventually finally rebranded it as Turtles in Time.
It helps.
They figured out, oh, right, there's a successful video game we should name this movie after.
Right.
Even though it has nothing to do with the game.
No, absolutely nothing.
It's still Turtles going back in time. So that helped, in my opinion. So one is a very good movie, but I always think I'm going to pick two more.
Really? Okay.
Like, I know, it's really hard to do, because there's no Casey Jones in that one.
Right.
But I think I'm gonna go 2-1-3 at the top of the list.
Okay.
I didn't hate the CG one.
Okay.
It was a bit weird. Voice cast was very strange.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they were thinking.
Just make some money off the turtles.
Yeah. And then the rest.
And then the rest happened.
Like, I don't want to even... I want to put the Out of the Shell tour before the Michael Bay movies.
You can.
Out of principle.
You can.
I think I'm going to have to.
I think you should.
I did enjoy the second of the Michael Bay ones, just because they finally brought Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, they had Sheamus in it. You love wrestlers in your movies.
I do. And they also brought Stevie's dad from Malcolm in the Middle in as Bebop.
That's right.
Because that's a reference some people might get.
There it is. Dude, Malcolm in the Middle. Very good.
He's also in the CarMax commercials.
Is he?
With that dude, with the dude with the glasses. He's the guy who's always trying to buy a car from him. There's a reference that we'll have to look up later.
I believe you. I just can't picture it.
He looks like that guy because it's that guy.
Well, that's he best.
Yeah. And then a version of Baxter Stockman. Not The Fly, but that's okay.
Right.
Tyler Perry. I don't hate him in movies that aren't Madea. I haven't watched one of those, so I don't know if they're any funny.
What's wrong with Boo and Madea something or other?
Holiday special. Christmas special. Or it's a Halloween special. That makes more sense. I said holiday and then lost everything.
Calling a Christmas special Boo.
Yeah,
I like
Boo,
it.
Boo, it's Christmas special.
Boo, it's Christmas.
Yeah. I liked his role in the Star Trek reboot movie as well.
He's fine in most things I see him in. Yeah. I just don't care for the Madea stuff.
I haven't seen Vice, but I'm sure he was great in that.
Right.
And then the first Turtles movie from Michael Bay is at the bottom because it shouldn't have happened.
No.
But then because it did happen, the other one happened. But I still give that one more of a pass because of the characters they used.
Felt like they were treating the source material with a little respect.
I mean, Green Arrow is Casey Jones. How could you go wrong? Except by doing what that sentence said.
Oh, it's so hard, because it's not what you want, but, like, Stephen Amell's, like, a good dude.
Yeah, he's cool. I really love Arrow.
Right. Maybe Casey Jones just needs to do a flippy dude. Maybe they wanted him to do the push-up thing he does where he walks the bar up.
Yeah.
There. That's all they wanted, right?
Yeah. They didn't want crazy guy who never removes his mask like in the cartoon.
And they didn't want somebody who murders somebody with a compactor.
Yeah. Actual murder.
Actual murder. Oh, that's cool.
I will say, honorable mention for what constitutes a Turtles movie. The Turtles Forever crossover episodes they did with the 2003 Fox version of the cartoon.
I enjoyed that version.
They had a crossover episode where they brought back the 80s cartoon Turtles.
Nice.
And they had to fight together. And then eventually they also ran into the comics versions.
Wow.
But they were drawn, and it was all, the whole world was in black and white.
That's so cool.
That probably jumps up all the way to like the number 3 spot, because I think I like that better than Turtles in Time.
Yeah, that sounds right. I haven't seen it, and I think I agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube, so just Turtles Forever.
Turtles Forever, okay.
They also, in the Nickelodeon series, they did a flashback episode where they brought back the 80s Turtles.
That's so cool.
But they, for that one at least, they brought back the original voice cast too, which was amazing. Because Rob Paulsen originally played Raphael, and in the 2012 Nickelodeon version, he's Donatello.
Okay.
So they made a joke about, you have a great voice.
That's pretty good.
That's a wonderful joke. That most of the kids would be like, that's weird. And everyone who's watching it, like my age, is like, that's because it's the same person. I get that.
I love voice acting. I love it when you hear a voice and you just instantly know who it is.
Oh, yeah. Trying to figure out, like, oh, my God, I know who this is, but I can't figure it out. And then you get it.
Right, because I remember the voice actor for Leonardo was in the Robotech game I was playing. I was like, oh, it's Leonardo.
That's
and then
wonderful.
I'm like, but then I couldn't get the image of a giant turtle flying a Veritech fighter pilot out of my head.
So. I mean, I think that makes it better.
It arguably does. Arguably, for sure.
Yeah, for the Turtles Forever, the only one I remember, Leonardo, they got the guy who was Yami Yugi.
Okay.
From the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show.
There you go.
So it's like, that's fine.
Do you just yell a bunch?
Basically, yeah. So yeah, those are my rankings. And now you have a Turtles movie you have to watch.
I know, that's pretty cool.
Because it's like a double episode, triple episode or so. So it's almost movie length.
Well, if we're going to do that, we should also do Coming Out of the Shells proper. Beginning to end, let's do it. Let's come out of those shells.
And, alright. If I get to watch Turtles.
We'll find a way to make it less painful. We should turn it into a drinking game.
I don't drink. This is going to be awful.
Yeah, no. I'm full of bad ideas.
You get my share.
Oh, no. I no longer want to play. So, you guys are, you've done your short movies. What are your goals as far as movie making? What's, like, your short-term goals?
Well, honestly, the short-term, based on just the time frame, we're, like, I know Max has already announced that we're actively working on doing a feature of the memoirs as an anthology full-length movie. So, that is our short and long-term goal, because it's short-term is to film it, long-term is to edit it.
Beyond that, promote it and get it in
distribution.
Yeah, the whole thing.
That's one of the big things. Other short term is just trying to keep the momentum going with everything we've been doing on YouTube, but also the streaming content.
Yeah, the streaming's been going good for you guys.
As of recording, we just did our like 6th or 7th early access event for Magic the Gathering on Arena.
Did you get to play any of the new cards?
I didn't. I didn't end up going.
Gotcha.
To Max's, but.
My dog loves it. Bless you.
Yeah, I'm being a.
He like, plopped on you.
Like the dog is just. All up on me.
Yeah, he loves you so much.
But yeah, so that was pretty cool. And we've actually gotten hosted on Twitch by the actual official Magic channel a couple times, which is surreal at this
right.
point.
Right, it's gotta feel good.
Yeah, it's very cool. And that was for our normal stream, not the, like, that's when everybody's streaming, not just the early access streamers. So I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's really, that's such a weird thing with Twitch, where you can just have somebody dump all their people into your stream.
Yep.
It's awesome. And I like that you can use that if you're a big fish to support a smaller fish or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really fun. That's a really cool thing.
It really helps, and it promotes the idea of building a community and being a part of several communities so you can cross-promote each other.
Right. Do you ever feel like you're being pulled in too many directions between movies, podcasts, streaming, and just regular day-to-day stuff?
When I was doing the How Good Is That, just me and my wife, and by that, like, she was on it, but I did everything else.
You did the editing.
Like, editing and recording and all that stuff. So, for those 10 weeks, yes. Oh my god. the idea of trying to balance all that stuff plus working a full-time job is like, that's so many things.
Right.
But, you know, you have to figure out, you know, what things you want to get done and what things aren't as important. So, like, I didn't hang out as much, but every time we did something as far as production was like, I'm there, but, like, you know, sacrifice a bit of time doing non-work stuff at that point.
I have a hard time, like, for example, my wife went out today with my daughter, and I'm like, oh, I got the house to myself for probably at least an hour or so. It's, like, hard to force the creativity.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just edit stuff. I'm like, I'll edit a Tapes and Scales. And I'm like, wait, I already edited this episode. I don't even remember doing that. That's weird.
That's terrifying.
It is. But, hey, it was all there.
Yeah.
So I edited another one.
There you go.
So I don't remember doing this.
He edited this one, and we're still recording it.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's productivity, tell you what.
I tell you, now I'm not even going to edit this one.
I tell you what.
I tell you what.
I know you're not.
No, I will.
I
might. It's 50-50 right now. So do you have any, you mentioned the feature film, do you have any major updates, anything you can give us as far as the feature film?
Well, I mean, the update for, like, on our end is we are an official business, and it's actually Superliminal Entertainment.
Nice.
Because the films is just one aspect of what we do.
Right, you do games.
We have branded ourselves as Superliminal Entertainment, mm-hmm. where we do films and podcasts and streaming and live events sometimes, like when we have tables at either Magic the Collector Con or Horror Con, because we do so many things.
Hey, you guys are a jack of all trades.
All of us really are. So I forget the question.
The question is, do you have any updates?
Other updates.
Any newer updates?
We're in the process of becoming affiliated with the Screen Actors Guild, so we can officially bring on people that are in SAG.
Nice.
And have our production be, like, a part of that.
That'll be great.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That's very cool. It's very exciting.
So, we've gone through a lot of the process of learning the rules of SAG, because there are a lot of rules.
So, with Twitch, I'm just going to jump around, because I realize my questions are all out of order.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't.
You're just like, I have some questions. Well, that's a good one. I'm going to do that one, too.
Well, I probably had 5 minutes of quiet, like I was telling you earlier. And I was like, I got to write these down. Here's some questions. Well, plus you've answered some of the stuff, so.
All right.
But when you're doing your YouTube stuff, filming for YouTube, or just Twitch stuff, what is your role if you're not on camera?
So, honestly, just being in chat is something I try to do.
Oh, yeah, you're good at that. You interact with me when I'm trying to be an ass.
Yeah. Like, you know, as far as being in chat, like during a live stream, I'm a mod, so we don't have too many people in chat, but if anything comes up that people are, like, harassing us for some reason, we could give them a timeout or something like that.
Sure. It's important. It's important because if you're getting people dumped into your stream,
God knows who's getting dumped into your stream. You never know, and we definitely want to provide a culture of being good people.
Acceptance of all people.
Yeah, so we definitely want to try to make sure we can maintain that. So that would be one thing I would do. But normally it's just talking to people in the chat. As far as YouTube stuff, if it's something that, like, Dan or Max record for YouTube, that's just a solo thing. Max just recorded a draft, not for this past episode, but the one before it,
mm-hmm.
as of recording, where he drafted, and all we really have to do on our end is whoever does that video has to put the intro and outro on it.
Okay.
And as long as it sounds fine, the rest is good.
Right, those would be awful to edit. They really don't need to be edited.
Yeah, like,
smart.
Yeah, I've had to do a bit of editing on mine a couple times, because I'll start a draft, play a couple rounds, and then go take a break. So I'll have to put them together. There was one time I forgot the overlay for half of it, so I had to edit in that overlay.
Nice.
To match it, and that was awful.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, because adding more objects to a file made that thing take forever to render.
That's so funny.
Video editing. Do all your work beforehand. Don't try to fix it in post.
Oh, no.
This is audio. We'll fix it in post.
But that was my plan. Oh, no. Well, do you ever miss poor man's process? Because I know I do.
Occasionally, yeah. There are times where I'm just like, man, we had so much fun recording that.
I really enjoyed it.
Like, my plan is to be on at least one of the two seasons of How Good Is That this year, because we're going to do two again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to be on at least one of them, just because I want to actually record with the guys again.
Right.
Haven't done that in quite a while, but just recording with them is something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, you guys have good chemistry. Poor Man's Process was fun because you guys were more characters of yourselves. You were a little more silly. Dan was just turned all the way up to 11.
Yeah.
So, and then Paul Paul, you know, meeting Paul outside of that and really just knowing the poor man's process version of Paul, it's like he's a completely different person.
Yeah, once you get to know Paul, it's like, are you actually real? There was a theory for a while he was an imaginary friend of all of us.
And only you three could see.
Or Dan had imagined all of us, including him, and he imagined that we imagined him.
Whoa.
It was like Inception layers of how Paul came into existence.
It was the time being.
Yeah.
He had something to do with it.
Absolutely.
Any discussions to bring it back in any, in maybe in like a smaller fashion? Because I know you guys do so much. I don't want you guys to get burned out, but I love it, so I gotta ask.
So, we have recorded like single episodes here and there if something comes up in film stuff, but it's not quite in the Did You See where Dan and Max would talk about it, but it's more something of a larger scope.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of those episodes. There is an idea that we have to try to bring back something to do with a poor man, but we want to make sure that we know what we're doing with that first before we really announce it. But there is an idea to do with just the poor man's process as what it is and not necessarily how we did it before.
Okay.
As a cryptic tease.
I like that. That's good. You're not going to get in trouble for that, are you?
What are they going to do? They didn't tell me not to come here.
That's true. They didn't. There was no blanket like, hey, by the way, if Tim ever says come over, don't.
You're thinking about going into that house. Don't.
I'm actually surprised Max didn't tell you that, because the last time Max was here, my daughter grabbed him and threw him out of that chair. She, like, judo threw him out.
I was a little terrified when she grabbed my glasses.
Yeah, no, that you should have been. That wasn't cool.
I was like, yep, okay, yep, I need those to see.
Those are yours now, oh god. She's strong. Do you have a favorite episode of Poor Man's Process that you can think of off the top of your head?
So, episode 120, Fair.
Oh, I remember that.
It was one of the most ridiculous episodes. That was one that
had Lou, right?
Lou guessed it on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one where just we were clicking on all cylinders during that entire episode because of like the way we introduced the idea of the episode, where we had to come up with like different random segments and put them together to make a movie. It's like, who would do that?
That's great. Yeah, Fair was really good.
It was like
a writing
exercise, but we talked it out instead of writing it down.
Yeah, the fact that you said Fair, and I just go, oh, Lou, that's right.
Yep, and honestly for me, the egg-eating challenge between you and Ben. Holy crap, that was ridiculous.
You brought that up the other day, and I've completely forgotten about it, and I just started tearing up laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an egg challenge.
You brought 2 dozen eggs. And
I did.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, he summoned the breakfast fairy, and then I remember it was,
yep.
It was gross. Poor Dan.
That's somewhere in the 60s, I want to say. We have to get some of our episodes put back online, but yeah, those two are very standout.
What movie was that even for? Was it Howard the Duck?
No, Howard the Duck was episode 101.
Okay. It was something Marvel-y, I think. Was it just Moon Knight? I feel like it was a Moon Knight idea.
It was part of our MCU movie, so yeah. If you were there, it probably was the fourth of our MCU movies, so
I think you're
63
right.
Or 4, I want to say. And I also really enjoyed when I did episode 138, because
mm-hmm.
The Simpsons had 138th episode spectacular, where it was a clip show.
Nice.
So I went through all 137 previous episodes to find some of the best clips, so... I made us a clip show.
That's so worth it, though.
It was
That's
so good.
So much work, but...
It was.
It's worth every second of it.
Quite a few other good ones, but those are the ones that stand out to me personally.
So I know you mentioned How Good Is This? You have 2 new things coming this year, minimally. Regardless of those...
Okay.
You don't have to spoil what those are going to be.
Good.
But for you, you personally, you get to choose one. What are you choosing? What's a series? It could be TV, it could be a bunch of movies...
Well,
like if you were like Alf, like let's just do Alf. Like I could see you picking something like that.
You'd think so, but after doing an entire series,
mm-hmm.
which included 9 seasons of
long
episode television,
right,
that is not a sustainable thing to do.
Sure,
we weren't able to rewatch all the episodes we wanted to because it's like, all right, we have like 5 days to fit in 10 episodes. Oh God. So, I don't think I'll ever pick a series unless it's a 1 to 2 seasons, and they have to be short.
Right.
So
British. British TV.
Yeah, British TV. Spaced. That'd be easy. But I don't think I'd do that.
Oh, but we should do that. Because this is the second time it's come up. Because it came up, I don't even know if it aired yet, but we mentioned Space in a different podcast.
Nice.
And everybody got super excited.
It's such a good show.
Yeah.
So obviously for me, I would love to do the Star Wars films.
Okay.
But I might be a stickler and make everyone who was on that watch the Ewok Adventures 1 and 2.
Nice.
and then nobody would want to do it because those movies are terrible.
I'll be your Huckleberry. I will watch bad. I'm the king of watching bad movies.
I believe it.
But oh boy, that thing that Dan wants me to watch that I'm going to watch. Dan, it's happening. I found it.
Yeah, we watched the trailer before we recorded, and I don't want to watch that.
You were like, please no.
No.
Please no reason for this.
No. That'd probably be something I would want to do, but I don't know if I ever will, because how good is that is a very full docket.
Sure. It's a lot.
So.
What do you think is the key to being successful as a content creator? And since you guys do everything, is it helpful that it's four of you and you're kind of like a Monty Python kind of gaggle of guys?
Yeah, honestly. Like, I've heard it said in other ways and in other things. But
when you weren't called a gaggle?
Well, I just mean what I'm about to say.
Mm.
Also, having us described as a gaggle makes sense. take a gander at those geese. Yeah, that happened.
I'm leaving it in.
I know you are.
Okay.
Like, I'm on free association mode, so this is bad.
No, I know. You are so free right now.
I'm petting a dog. How could I be any more free?
That dog is fucking out.
Because it's a chihuahua who's shaking until I put my arm on him, and now he's like, I'm comfortable and warm. I'm sleeping here forever.
He's so stupid.
I mentioned chihuahua already. So, to answer your question, as I try to remember it, yes.
Good job.
I did. I remembered. Like, if you have the ability to, find people that can help you do it.
Right.
Like, to do things on your own, you know, there might be stuff that you want to do just because you're like, I want to do this, I'm going to do it on my own. That's cool. But that can be hard to sustain. So if there's a lot of things that you want to do, find people that can help you do those things. Build a team around you. It's like, you know, Max and Paul were trying to do the stop motion animation stuff, and they had a bunch of ideas that they want to do for it. They didn't do anything with it until me and Dan showed up and were like, I would love to be a part of just doing this random stuff. Like, we were already friends, but then it's like, no, I want to do that. Let's do that. So, you know, just work towards finding other people that can, like, at least help motivate you to do things, even if it's not actually physically helping you. So if you have stuff that you're doing and you're releasing, you know, mention to those people that you're releasing it for, hey, I'm looking for help with this or that, and just try to get contacts in that way.
Yeah, because burnout's a really awful thing, and
yes.
You want this to be fun, because this is your hobby, and you don't want it to be work, miserable work.
Absolutely.
So, it's good advice. Very good advice.
Yeah.
Very good advice.
And definitely, like, take a break from it if you need to. If it's not your livelihood, you can afford to be like, I'm going to take a couple weeks, not record anything. Like, they'll understand.
I can't do that. I can't. You're right. I can't do it.
I know. Like, at the same time, though, if you are planning on doing that, but you don't want to miss anything, just work your ass off for, like, two weeks beforehand to do enough. Because, like, me and my wife took, like, 4 days to take a vacation. In the middle of us doing that podcast, I was like, we have to record, like, 2 episodes this week, which is awful.
Right.
So we can take a week to not do that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, plan.
If you, like, it makes it a little bit more difficult, but just, like, I need this time, but I don't want to miss any deadlines that I've set for myself, so you just have to work harder to meet those earlier. So, like, if you can afford to miss a week here and there, don't let that ruin anything. But if you don't want to do that, you'll have to work harder to not do that. But you still need to make sure you take the time to recharge.
Absolutely. So, I've only got a handful of questions left for you.
Oh,
and my first one is on a recent episode of my podcast. You guessed it,
yes.
Along with Max. Hi, Max. And you inadvertently, at the time, we created the plot for Follow That Bird.
We did.
A short movie starring you in a bird costume.
Yep, big bird costume.
Yes.
Just a bird.
Well, we don't want to get sued, so a bird costume.
It's a big bird costume. It's a bird costume that happens to be big.
There it is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. At this moment in time, how do you feel about these turn of events?
So, this is something I've mentioned before. I still don't think it will happen.
Okay.
But if it does, I am 100% in and on board.
All right. Because it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen.
You keep saying these things.
Well, if I wasn't so terrified to go to Paul's house, he'd already be working on a costume.
Like,
I'm terrified of giant spiders.
There's a chance he already has it built. He just hasn't told anybody yet.
That's a very Paul thing.
When we were recording the first season of Memoirs of the Macabre, we had a plan to film the first one, Collections, at his house. We went there. He had an entire set built out of pallets.
So good.
He told zero people about having the set built.
So good. That's Paul. Like, Paul's great.
Holy crap. He also built a makeshift well out of cinder blocks, and then a miniature version of the same well, so the demon could pop out of it and look gigantic. And then, for scale, the person throwing something into the well would look like it's a huge well. And then, so, he may already have the costume ready.
That's
and,
perfect.
As well as the mural.
Ah, the mural.
The mural of the actual character, who's definitely trademarked.
Yeah, no. Can't do that.
No, we have to.
We'll figure it
as
out.
As I said, I'm 100% in if what has been put out is done. If you try to change it, I have a loophole.
There's no loophole. I will find a loophole for your loophole. Just do it, man.
It's like the magic rings of magicians. Somehow the rings are going to fit together, and then I'm going to end up being a goddamn bird costume.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you are. It's going to be great.
Harvey Birdman.
Yeah. It's not that great, but it will be great.
Sure.
My next follow-up question, of course.
Follow-up.
My follow-up question is, when Follow That Bird becomes a smash hit, are you prepared to work on sequels, prequels, comics, shared universes, etc. for Follow That Bird?
I'll say the same exact thing I said about doing the actual Follow That Bird. I don't think that would ever happen, but yes, 100%.
Come on, you don't want a Jared, a J-Rod in a bird costume comic book prequel?
I just said that I don't think it would happen.
All right, so let's say it happens, as described, to the best of our abilities.
Yes.
And you make this short film, which I'm guessing will be like 10 minutes long at most.
As long as we get Sam Elliott.
I said I would try to get Sam Elliott. I will probably fail because I've already looked into it and it looks hard. But
probably, yeah.
I'm still going to try. And he'll be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And I'll say, okay, I tried.
It's like, all right, let's record that response and see if we can cut that together.
Yeah. All his dialogue makes no sense.
I'm not.
Who would you want in the prequel? Come on, who's your must get for a Follow That Bird prequel?
I mean,
it would probably be somebody playing the Snuffleupagus character in real life.
Maybe. It's hard to say because I also have this idea of Paul dressed up as Oscar the Grouch coming out of a trash can.
I mean, that I can probably have happen. That doesn't sound too difficult.
I'm not looking. I'm not reaching for the stars here. I'm just.
I believe like, he's already got
what
that.
What other hilarious things can we do to expand how stupid this idea is?
It's not stupid. It's fantastic.
It's both.
Okay. Fair. Fair. Lou. Lou is the answer.
Lou is the answer.
Lou, you're the answer, Lou.
Not sure what the question was.
Follow That Bird. Were you really upset when I said I did the one episode and I said, Jared, if you call me today, I'll cancel all plans on Follow That Bird?
Only because I didn't work that Monday, so I didn't listen to it when I normally would have.
Oh, it's the universe trying to tell you something.
You just knew to release it on a holiday weekend where I didn't.
I don't know things. Come on.
That's true.
I'm not a knower of things.
Nobody's ever accused you of knowing too many things.
That's correct.
Just knowing a lot of people.
So we're going to wind down here, and I want to wind down talking about you, your personal life, your wife. She has a cool business. Why don't you plug her business?
Okay, so she recently has started to dive more into, like, spiritual healing, and she's done a lot of research, and she's taken a few, like, classes online for, like, crystal healing, and there's a rose healing ceremony that she got certified for, which is really neat, because I let her do that to me, which is, like, a real, like, you get a rose, and she does the whole, like, very calming, meditative thing.
Right.
So she's done a whole lot of stuff with that. So when I first met her, and when we first started dating, I didn't realize that I had met and married a witch, but I did, so.
Sounds right.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that she's really gotten into, and I've started to, like, learn more about it as well, so it's been kind of neat. But yeah, she offers those things, you know, as possible, stuff that she could do for people. But she also can do some of these things, not necessarily the rose healing, but, like, the crystals and other stuff. She can do, like, remotely. She doesn't have to come to your house and do stuff.
Right.
But she actually has had a few friends, like, ask to have them, like, sage their new apartment or house or stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So she'll come in and do that stuff. So just has a lot of the spirituality stuff she's, you know, learned a lot about in the past couple of years.
That's cool. Yeah, meditation in any form is just so good for the human soul, the spirit, the body, all of that.
Yeah, so she follows our Instagram, so you can always tag her in the Instagram version of this post when you put this up, and I saw the picture you're probably going to use. So you just tag her in the picture as well, and then people can find her through the picture.
I will do that.
Because that's really the only thing she's on is Instagram at this point.
Okay.
Facebook is awful.
Oh, I hate Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you found it through Facebook, I hate you. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah. This isn't Tapes and Scales. You don't have to be mean to the audience.
Oh, sorry.
Are you?
No.
I know you're not.
I'm sorry that I'm not actually sorry.
That, I believe.
Yeah. I wish I was capable, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tapes and Scales were very mean to the audience.
Oh, my God. But I know it's not me, because you always say, but not you, and I know that's actually
that's,
me.
That's you.
It's the other people that you're talking
to. You keep the person with the hook hand right behind you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody did actually come up to me and say, I love how you rag on the audience. That's great. And I'm like, you're part of the audience, you moron. They did not get it. And I'm just like, that's so awesome and,
yeah.
And silly all at the same time.
It's wonderful.
I love how you hate that audience. I'm like, well, did you listen to the whole thing? Then you're part of it. You're part of the problem, fella. So that's it, guy. You did it. You did it. I feel like you did a great job.
I did an interviewed.
You did an interviewed, and you followed your heart. And I feel like you told everyone what Superliminal Films is, and you gave an idea of all the different things they can find on Superliminal's... your website's still Super... Is it Superliminal Entertainment now?
No, not yet.
Right. Things are happening as far as the website.
Yeah, like, I think we have that under control, I hope. Don't do that. If you have the ability to do that, don't do that. Don't take that. Don't tap on that. TM, TM, TM. No, we're still Superliminal Films pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
But... If you've watched our other things, you'll see the Superliminal Entertainment logo and banner and stuff. So
I can't explain to you how happy I am when I look at the games logo and it's just got a D20 floating around.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Eyeball logo.
That was Natalie, Dan's wife.
Right, I love that. That's
like, I think
subtle
that,
change.
I don't know. She did the work. I don't know if it was her call. I think it may have been Max, but it may have been one of those two. But.
Either way, it's a great little touch.
When I first saw it, I was like, this is amazing.
Just simple things like that go a long way.
We need to get more of those play mats. And we need to get normal ratio play mats, not just like the super long one, but it's really thin.
I mean, I like that one.
Yeah, it's good, but, I mean, merchandising.
Merchandising.
Yeah, we have the ability to merchandise. We have sale. T-shirts for sale, too.
Oh, yeah.
For memoirs.
Memoirs. Those t-shirts are comfy. I have one, people. Foul That Bird action figures in the Ninja Turtle scale. What do you think? Removable hat.
God, I hope so. Once I put that on, I hope it's removable.
No, it's permanent. It's actually a tar and feathering process.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna make a prototype action figure for this. I think I have to now.
You do you, man. Which is...
Somebody got it, might as well be me, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Alrighty, well, thank you for being here. Do you want to plug any of your social medias?
I mean, we're on the Instagram.
I thought you were just going to say no.
No, I'm good. But we're on Twitter at SuperliminalFLM. We're on the Facebooks that nobody likes, apparently.
I don't.
There's a Tumblr that I never use because I don't understand that.
I don't either. I think Max is the only one who uses Facebook.
I mean, he's in charge of doing our posts for it usually, so yeah.
He's the only one I ever see on there. And I'm only on there to do my Gabe's and Scow stuff.
Yeah, I usually just share our posts and your posts sometimes.
It's funny.
If I find it funny. Actually, I just don't like to see them because I almost never go on that thing.
That's fair.
I know when to look for ours. Yours are just like, hey, we're here. God, what?
That is usually how a thing. All right, bye.
Like this. When's this coming out? You don't even know yet.
I actually do.
Son of a bitch.
I actually do.
Call me out.
It's because it's January and I haven't failed yet because I wanted to do something specific schedule wise for the new year for 2020. And so far I've done it.
Good.
But if I'm going to screw it up, it's going to be immediately after this interview goes up.
Okay.
This will be fine, but everything else might just come completely off the rails.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to follow that plan, buddy.
Sounds like you're planning for failure. You're like Microsoft.
I am.
You're going to red ring of death.
Oh, so going to do that. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for being my first interview of the year.
That's weird.
It's cool. I can't wait to see what everybody else's reaction is.
I'm excited to have them be like, "You what? When did you do that?"
Yep.
And then I'll pretend I don't remember.
You might not.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. Alrighty. Goodbye, people.
Bye.